Go ahead and take your Bibles and turn to the book of James, chapter number one. James, chapter number one. While you're turning there, just to update you on a couple of things. Yesterday, we had a kids' Bible time here. Used the pavilion up on the hill, and a good crowd, a good number of young people came out, and that's going to continue. And so that'll be again this Tuesday at 10 o'clock. So you might have somebody you can invite and let them know about that, but that'll be this Tuesday at 10 o'clock. And then Brother Petrie talking about the bus ministry. Of course, the bus ministry has been much quieter recently, but it has not been dormant. There's been a lot of things going on. They have bus workers, and headed by Brother Dan, and they have written devotionals, like daily devotionals for these young people for weeks throughout all of this. And when it was, now they are doing this every Saturday, but for a time they couldn't even go out, but they're delivering them to their door. And so they have a devotional for the week, for each day of the week. And then also there's young people that are being discipled as well. And they're, doing it in a safe manner, in a helpful manner. So I appreciate all that going on. There are things like that going on, you can't see it, you don't know what's happening. So I appreciate your prayers, and I know Brother Dan and the other bus workers would as well. But James chapter number one, and we're going to begin reading in verse number 5. James 1 and verse number 5. The Bible says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." So let's go ahead and open up in prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for your help through the day and through the week up to this point. Lord, thank you that you provide wisdom. Lord, I pray that you would help us tonight, and that we would be challenged and encouraged from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. In James chapter number one, the first few verses, right before we read this, James makes an interesting statement in verse number two. He says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into different types of temptations." Now, the word temptations there has to do with trials or testings. And James says something kind of odd. He says, count it all joy when you come across or you fall into these different kind of testings and trials. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't find that when I face a trial or testing, my first reaction typically is not, "Oh joy, oh rejoice." I mean, how many of you, if you walked out of here tonight and went to your car and found the front tire was flat, would just say, "Amen, glory, hallelujah, let's gather around and sing praises to the Lord right now because my tire is flat"? I mean, that's not our reaction normally to these things. You know, the air conditioner breaks or the refrigerator breaks. And I mean, it's generally not revival meeting at the household when that happens. But he says to count it all joy because there's a specific purpose for it. There's a purpose that God can work in our lives if we are allowing him to do that. You know, Christian people aren't the only ones to deal with trials. We act like, before we got saved, everything's great, and then you get saved and, oh boy, God's testing me here and testing me there. And I mean, certainly he does that to his children, but trials are a part of life. Turmoil is a part of life. Lost people get flat tires too, and lost people have refrigerators break down as well. I mean, it is. But in the life of a believer, and those are fairly innocent things, we know there's a lot of other more severe things that come our way. But in the life of a believer, the Lord can use those things to grow us and to make us more like him. He explains, he says, that the trying of your faith, verse 3, worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And that, you know, that should be the goal of every believer that's here tonight or listening on the internet. The goal should be maturity and contentedness. He talks about perfect and entire, wanting nothing. That, you know what? That's what we should be as believers, right? But we're not that way naturally, are we? We're not naturally wanting nothing. We're not naturally content. We're not naturally mature, perfect is the idea here. We're not naturally that way in the Lord. We have to grow to get to that point, and he uses the tribulations and the trials of life, and maybe even times where he specifically tests us somewhere, but the tribulation and trials of life to teach us to wait on the Lord, to teach us to look for his solution in things. I mean, even in when the refrigerator breaks down. I mean, when's the last time we thought about that? Let's look for his solution in this. But he teaches us to look for his solution in things. That's patience. That's learning to wait on the Lord, waiting on him to work. And through that, he brings us to a place of maturity where now we go through life looking for his hand and looking for him to work and expecting him to work and asking for him to work. So that's how he opens up the book. And he gets here to verse number 5, and he humbly states, if any of you lack wisdom. Now, we're going to face trials. He's already told us to rejoice. And I do appreciate his humility here. He's almost like he's saying, I don't know about you. I know I need this. I don't know if you guys do or not. He says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. I think, and he, in his humility there, is saying it in this way, but we know that it's not just a matter of if, it's a matter of when we need wisdom. It's a matter of we will face trials. We will face turmoil. We will face testing. And we will face things that as people, we don't know what to do. And so he says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. So James here makes it clear that there is an avenue for wisdom. No believer, including James, no believer has all of life figured out. If you do, introduce yourself to me after the service. I have a few questions I would like to ask you. I mean, if you do and you haven't written the book on it yet and capitalized on it, maybe that's part of it. You can't do that because you're so humble. I don't know. But nobody has it all figured out. And James knew that. He knew we were going to face things where we don't have it figured out. We don't know the answer. We don't know what to do. We don't know which direction to turn. You come to a fork in the road and you go, you know, I don't know which way to go. Life is confusing like that. We're going to spend a little bit of time at my mom's house, and she lives on a mountain, and she lives, like her driveway, you got to go about 100 feet above the road. It's an interesting adventure going up and around, and I mean, you got to hit it a certain way, or you dig out ruts in the gravel. I mean, it's fun. It's exciting. And then you go up above her house and there's woods, and then you can, if you go up far enough, you get to the top of the mountain, and it's kind of a neat thing to do. And this time of year, if you attempt to do that, I mean, my boys have done it before, it is extremely thick. Like, you know, it's through certain parts, if you go a certain way, I mean, you can't hardly get through what's there, and spider webs everywhere and things. And you don't know if you're going the right way part of the time because you just can't see what's around you. And then you get through and you break through to the top, and suddenly it opens up to you. You know, that's how we are as believers going through life. You know, it's so thick sometimes we can't see what really is around the corner. But I'm glad there's a God in heaven who knows where the clearing is. and he knows what the view is like, and he knows the best path to get you there, and he also knows the best path to get you out of there, and we need to trust him. So he says here, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. I want to talk a little bit this evening about the asking for wisdom. First of all, I want you to think about the quest for wisdom. The quest for wisdom. You know, there is a worldwide quest for wisdom. People just don't go to the right place to get it. You think our world right now needs a little bit of wisdom? You think there is a need for wisdom? There absolutely is. Both for individuals and also nationally and internationally, there's a need for wisdom. By the way, this quest is there, and it will one day, again, I'm not, as I said Sunday morning during the 9 o'clock hour, I am not setting dates. That's not up to me to do. But you know what? One day there will be a person arrive on the scene that goes, I have all the answers. I have the wisdom that this world needs, and he will set himself up in the place of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we know him from Scripture, what we call the Antichrist, and there's other names he's referred to in Scripture, and he will fill, and can't you see it? Boy, people would just latch on to someone who seemed to have all the answers. There's a quest for wisdom that is in us, as even unsaved, as even in unsaved people and saved people as well. Wisdom is sought for is something that is sought for by everyone. And it's interesting here that the statement is made here in verse number 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally. The Bible says he's given wisdom to everybody. I'm glad for it. You know, I believe in the Bible that when it says all, it means all, don't you? And he said here, he's given wisdom to all men, and he's given it liberally, or he has given it generously. You know, even God-denying people benefit from the wisdom of God. You know, you think about medical advances. Aren't you glad for medical advances that have taken, I mean, genuine ones where, you know, a medicine is discovered that helps someone, or a treatment that is discovered that helps someone. You know, I am grateful for those things. Do you know those things were discovered and they needed wisdom to discover those things, and not everybody that discovered those things were born again Christians? You think about technology. I mean, some folks that have led companies to invent things, I mean, smartphones and things like that, all of those things. You know, you think about your iPhone or your Google Pixel or your Samsung or your flip phone or whatever it is that you have, all that stuff, it's not magic. It was here, your iPhone was here when Abraham was here. Men just needed a little bit of wisdom to figure out how to get it together, how to mine the materials, and how to put together the components, and how to build the components. You know, all of that is an example of wisdom that is granted and that is given. There is a practical side to wisdom, something I think that we call, you know, common sense. My dad used to say, he used to say, that, you know, just commenting and he'd say, yeah, that person, when the Lord was handing out common sense, they thought he said, get behind the fence. And they didn't get any. And, you know, you might know somebody like that. Surely nobody in here is like that. But, you know, that common sense might not be so common, but you know what I mean by that. It's the kind of practical understanding of the world around us. You know, that's a part of wisdom. The Bible says that God has granted to all men liberally. How has he done that? How is his wisdom manifest to all men? Well, the Bible tells us in Psalm 19 that his creation testifies to his person and to his reality. Psalm 19:1 says this, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. You know, this is kind of a part of the time of year where you can really embrace New England weather, in my opinion. I, you know, you, you if you, if it's a lot of times nice outside. You know, we complain about it being humid and all things like that. Friend, let me hold your hand and take you on a journey to some places that are really humid, and you would never call New England humid again. Mrs. Lejeune, who lived in Louisiana and Alabama and those places, she's shaking her head there. She's in agreement. And, you know, we benefit from that. And, you know, it's beautiful. I mean, we get up. We've had some great weather. And you get up and you see the sunrise and you see the sunset. And, you know, as believers, you go, wow, look at what God did. You know, that same testimony is blaring forth even to the unsaved when they see that every morning. God is trying to say, hey, here's some wisdom you need to listen to. You need to think about. He makes himself known. He gives people practical wisdom, which we already talked about, how to make things, how to reason through things. He gives everyone access to the knowledge of him. We just have to be willing to accept him. It's there. In Proverbs chapter number 8, wisdom is personified, and through that personification, we see that Jesus, who was God in flesh, is the full embodiment of the wisdom of God. Amen. So you want to know what true, full wisdom looks like? You look at the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you want to benefit from true, full wisdom, you know what? It begins by accepting the Lord Jesus Christ. It begins there. For the fullness of God's wisdom to be available to anyone, it begins with accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Proverbs chapter number 9 and verse 10 says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. You see, somebody might claim to want wisdom, and they might have a practical knowledge and a practical understanding of certain things in this world and in this life, but until they accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, until they yield to him by faith and trust him, you know what? They will never have the access to the fullness of wisdom that a born-again child of God will. Amen. It's there. It's available. It's available to us. You ever heard a testimony that goes something like this? That, you know, some of you may have this testimony, and I grew up in church, and I heard about the Bible, or I had friends who talked about the Bible. It never made sense. You know, the things of the Lord never made sense. But then I got saved. I trusted the Lord, and suddenly it was like a light bulb came on. I've heard that testimony numerous times. Why? Because the door to the fullness of God's wisdom is entered through when we go through the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Proverbs chapter number 9 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Friend, our world is continually, not just recently, but continually on a quest for wisdom, but they'll never have it until they accept the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. You know what the greatest need of America, and it's not new, you know what the greatest need of America is? The greatest need of America is revival, whereby people, again, trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for their salvation. Amen. That's the door to wisdom. That's how to get wisdom. That's the first step on that quest. So we see, first of all, the quest for wisdom. Secondly, I want you to see the request for wisdom in verse number 6. Well, verse 5, he said, let him ask of God. Verse 6, it tells us how to ask. It says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. So he said, if you want wisdom, if you need wisdom from God, he gives it liberally. Here is the access to it. He says, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. So as James said, if any of you lack wisdom, we know the reality is it's a when and not an if. When it is needed, when dealing with the trials and temptations of life, what does God tell us to do? He says, ask for it. Amen. But you need to ask for it by faith. Amen. Solomon, his name is synonymous with wisdom. If I were to poll 10 people, random people in Southington, and said, what is Solomon known for? Probably many of them would say wisdom, even if they didn't know a lot about the Bible. Solomon is known for it, and he perhaps is the greatest illustration of someone asking for wisdom. The Lord appeared to him with a great opportunity at the beginning of his reign, and he said to him, ask me anything. What would you ask of me? Ask me anything. And 2 Chronicles chapter 1 and verse 10 records Solomon's request. He says, give me now wisdom and knowledge that I may go out and come in before this people. For who can judge this people? For who can judge this thy people that is so great? Solomon said, when God offered him this great thing, and God made it clear, you could have asked for riches, you could have asked for the life of your enemy, you could have asked for longevity, you could have asked for all of these things, but the Lord was extremely pleased because Solomon, instead of those things, he asked for wisdom. I think that tells us something about what God is pleased by. Don't raise your hand or say anything, but have you ever been in a situation where you needed money? You know what we want to do when we need money? We want to pray for money, right? Maybe we should first pray for wisdom. Right. You ever been in a situation, and where there is a health issue? What's our first reaction? Is to pray for a resolution of the health issue. Maybe we should first pray for wisdom. Now, I don't think it's wrong to pray for those things. I don't think it's wrong to ask God. I think we have promises in the Bible that make it clear that we can come boldly unto the throne of grace and obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I think that's clear from Scripture that we can do that, but we know that it pleases God when we ask for wisdom. You've got a decision in life to make. Why don't you pray for wisdom? There's a young person that was saying, I want to marry this person. Have you prayed for wisdom first? Say, well, it seems right. Hey, it might be a good person. But you know what? God knows you both. You better pray for wisdom.
Amen.
Say, I'm thinking about quitting my job. Yeah, wait a second. Have you prayed for wisdom? Say, I'm thinking about taking another job. Have you prayed for wisdom? You see, God is very clear in Scripture that God is pleased when we, as His people, ask for wisdom. Solomon is a great example of that, and God gave it to him. And then God gave him those other things as well, but he was well pleased with his request for wisdom. There's a promise from John chapter number 14 in verse 14. Let's go ahead and turn there. We're not far from there, but look at John chapter number 14. We'll look at verse 13 and 14. It says, and whatsoever, Jesus is speaking, whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, that's widely confused portion of Scripture. If I'm asking it and I tag the name of the Lord Jesus onto it, that means God is bound to bring it to pass. That's not at all what it's talking about.
Right.
He said, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. I don't know, you think about a large corporation. Think about Apple. It's probably one of the biggest corporations I think right now, I mean, they're worth over $1 trillion. Unbelievable amount of money that is available. They really, in their name, have the ability to do about whatever they want financially, right? So I don't know what Apple's bank is, but let's pretend that it's TD Bank. And I go walking into TD Bank and I say, in the name of Apple, give me $500 million. I don't know, you know, if they have that just laying around a bank account, but just go with me. I'm asking you in the name of Apple to do that. Would they, I mean, what would happen? You would get probably arrested. The police would be called. You would at least get laughed out of the bank. I'm not sure exactly how it would happen, but you would be. Well, but wait, they have the power to do it, and I want it. And that's not what he's talking about here. But now, if for whatever reason somebody from Apple with the authority wrote you a check for $500 million, and it was Apple's check, and it was with their authorized signature or signatures, and you took that into the bank, you know what? That is going there in their name, and you will be blessed with $500 million. Now, just a reminder, if that ever happens, 10% of that is $50 million, just throwing that out. And you see, when he says, in my name, that's what he's talking about. The things that I have signed my name to and said, yes, I have, he has sanctioned. It's not that we get to throw his name around flippantly to get whatever we want. It is, he has signed the check already. All we have to do is cash it. And the prayer for wisdom is one such check that he has given us, that he said, I've already signed it, I've already approved it, and all you have to do, essentially, is go to the bank and cash it. So why don't we do it? He said, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. The request is to be a request of faith. We don't ask simply out of formality. Lord, I'm going to throw this at you, this request at you, and walk away, and you know, then I'm going to go and do my own thing. No, he said, you ask in faith, nothing wavering. We are to ask expectantly, nothing wavering. If you are facing a trial, and that could be a million different things, but if you are facing a trial, if you are facing a decision or something to where you need wisdom, are you willing and able to, in faith, without wavering, ask him for wisdom and know that he's going to give it to you? It's not the hallmark of some great Christian. It's just a simple promise of the Bible. And we need his wisdom much more than we even think about needing his wisdom. If you start praying for wisdom, and he starts giving you wisdom, as he said he would. Listen, it's his reputation on the line here. You know what you will see? Boy, I need to pray more for wisdom. I need to consider him first and foremost. You see, this is one of the things that we learn through the trials of life to where we should count it all joy when we fall into diverse temptations. Because when we face those things, I mean, hey, boy, I'm going to get to see God go to work right now. Because the first thing I'm going to do is go to my knees and by faith, without wavering, without hesitation, without at all doubting what he is going to do, I'm going to go to my knees and ask him for wisdom, and he is going to give the solution that I need on time, every time. It is a request that he sanctions that we make, and we are silly if we neglect to follow him, follow through and ask him for that request. I wonder if sometimes the reason that we are hesitant to ask him for wisdom is because we're afraid of what the outcome might be. That's kind of a, you know, it's how we think, but it's not, doesn't really make a lot of sense. He said, He talked about his children and prayer and children to fathers. And he said, if your fathers, and I'm not quoting it directly, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give good gifts?
Amen.
We should ask for wisdom without wavering, just like a child asking their father for something without wavering, knowing that what they do is going to be for their best interest. He said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask. He said, nothing wavering. Don't go back and forth on it. Don't waffle on it. Don't waver on it. Ask him and expect and look for the answer. He said, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. See, the request for wisdom, it's sanctioned by God. And it's something we should ask for by faith without wavering. Third thought here, and we'll move along, is the promise of wisdom. Bible says in that he giveth to all men liberally. In Luke chapter number 12 and verse 28, he says, if then God so clothe the grass which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And if God, and I would apply that here and say, if God is willing to give men wisdom who do not even believe him, he's willing to give them a practical, at least, understanding of the world that he created and how it works. If God is willing to do that, then how much more will he grant it to you, believer? How much more will he grant it to you, Christian, who are one of his children, who have accepted him as Savior, who do fear the Lord, as Proverbs points out? How much more will he be willing to bestow his wisdom on us as we face the trials of life? Young man was asking me some advice just the other day on the phone. Said, I've got this decision to make. And I don't know what to do. You know, I gave him the best wisdom that I could based on the Word of God. But at the end of the day, my conclusion was this: hey, you've got to pray about it and know exactly what God wants you to do.
Right.
So he wasn't choosing between a bad and a good thing. He was choosing kind of between two good things that were right there in front of him. And I said, and you listen, say, well, aren't you the preacher? Aren't you supposed to know everything that everybody is supposed to do? No. There's a God in heaven that guides his children, and we're his children. And we need to learn to ask for wisdom and allow him to provide it. He does give it to us in various ways. He gives it to us in his word. Ecclesiastes chapter number 12 and verse 13 says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Do you know this book? A lot of people look at that book and they go, oh, it's just a bunch of rules, a bunch of things. You know what it is? It's a bunch of wisdom.
Right.
He said, our duty is to fear God and keep his commandments. If we just obey this, we'll have all sorts of wisdom just right at our fingertips all the time. It's always available. He said in Psalm 119, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That's why, believers, we need to spend a daily time in the Word of God where we dig in there, because we need wisdom. We don't just need our intellect, you know, stimulated. We don't need to just find a cute little quote that we can post on the internet. That's fine. I mean, but we need it more than that. We need wisdom. We don't need it so we can impress others for what we know about the Bible. We need to get into it because we need wisdom. Have you ever, read something and think, boy, I don't know when I'll ever need that, and then like later that day you need that? I've had this happen before where I needed wisdom about something, and I'm going to go read, and reading in the Bible in a systematic way, like it was just where I was at that day, and I'm kind of, you know how we are. We think we know everything. You're probably not like that, but, and I know where I'm at, and I go, I'm going, well, I know what this is about. It's not really anything it's not anything that's probably going to help me. And, you know, kind of I'm thinking, you know, I guess God's got some other way, you know. And then I go and I read it and bling, the light bulb comes on. I go, wait a second. See, God's wisdom is a beautiful thing. It's in His Word. We need to dig into it. We need to get into it. But God also, good counsel, godly counsel. God gives wisdom through godly counsel. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 15 says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. You know, the right kind of counsel. You see, and what it is if you look at this pattern in the book of James about people that have already gone through trials and tribulations maybe that you're dealing with, and they've seen God work, when you can go to them, they can share with you wisdom that God shared with them. You go, you sit down with somebody like, you know, Pastor Townsley, who's been a pastor for over 45 years. And you know, he has seen some things turn out in life. And you say, well, what about this that I'm dealing with? You know, he's seen it probably before or somewhat before. And that counsel is a helpful thing, and God uses that to help us have wisdom on this earth. So don't neglect it, but go to the right places for it. You know, eighth grader gets $100. They need to want to spend it wisely and go ask another eighth grader. You know what? It's probably not going to end up diversely invested in a well-balanced portfolio, right? You know, we need to go to somebody that can help us. Maybe even somebody that's going to tell us something we don't want to hear, but they can give us true wisdom. You know, the Holy Spirit teaches us wisdom. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 12, he says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. That's what happens when a new believer who never understood the Bible before and they get saved and that light bulb comes on. What happens is the Holy Spirit has moved in and turned the light on, and suddenly things start clicking that never clicked before. Things start making sense that never made sense before. And what is it? It's the Holy Spirit. It's a new dweller within that has done that. The Holy Spirit of God. So all that to say, believer, God's given us every tool that we need for His wisdom. We just need to ask for it. We all know that it's not a matter of if any of us lack wisdom. It's a matter of when. But when you need wisdom, do not forget to ask your Heavenly Father. He said, ask in faith. Nothing wavering. Don't waffle. Don't waver one way or the other. But ask in faith. You know, the people who have the greatest prayers answered are the ones who put all of their eggs in His basket. Right. Not double-minded. Not wavering. He said, if you lack wisdom, ask me and I'll give it to you. There might be somebody here tonight that needs some wisdom. There's a trial. There's a tribulation. There's a decision. There's a new phase of life. There's a new job. There's a whatever it might be that you're dealing with. Friend, claim the promise of Scripture. Ask Him for wisdom. And without wavering, by faith, anxiously anticipate His bestowing of that wisdom upon you. He'll do it. He said He would. Dear Lord.